We walk in love. So today what I want to talk about is pick your battles, the hill you want to die on. Before we get started, because I'm not going to go into this, but I want you to do your own research, which people now are preaching on, don't do your own research. Have you heard that? But the World Economic Forum, look that up. This is not conspiracy. This is fact. This is the way they want the world to go. It's many, many layers and pages. What the World Economic Forum, this is world, okay? So what they want to do and what is going to happen, only God knows. But we can see that this is an international organization. It's global, political, economy, and mission to improve the state of the world, to make positive changes to our world. Okay, so they say there's going to be a global reset, which I've talked about before on January 2021. What does that involve, the global reset? You'll be hearing more and more about that. That's coming soon. But there's a lot of changes coming. And what we as Christians have to believe, we have to be ready, prepare for the worst, but believe the best. You can't just say there's not a famine coming, because Matthew 24 said there is. You can't say there's no racial wars, because we're already seeing it. But there is no such thing as prejudice and racism in the Bible. Did you know that? There's no such thing as racism and white supremacy and all these words, but there is one thing. It's called hatred. And we're not to be having any hate in our hearts. Even when people disagree with us and don't want to fellowship with us or whatever, the challenge now is to just keep loving God, stay filled with oil. Because if you get in hatred, you're not ready to go. I'm sorry, even whenever he comes. And I'm telling you, everybody wants to control it, but you're not going to control God. Everybody thinks they can control and say when God's coming. You know what? Jesus didn't even know the day of the hour. So how's this guy with his famous dream going to tell everybody what's happening? We've learned not to follow men, I hope. They followed King Herod, and they worshipped him as a god, right, in the book of Acts. And they all got filled with worms. God doesn't want us following men, because men can make error. They can transfer truth, and they can transfer error. And so we follow the Bible. We filter everything through the Bible. We take what men can say, but then we still have to judge it ourselves, because any man can be wrong. Have you ever been wrong in the past? Have you ever made mistakes? Have you ever followed wrong doctrine? Amen, amen, amen. So we keep our eyes on Jesus. He's the only one that's not going to fail us. There's a lot of strange doctrines going on right now, and none of them is worth fighting over. Is the earth round or flat? Who cares? Does it bother you today? Are you going to fall off your curb? Are you right with Jesus? Why fight over things that are not going to matter? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Or you're not filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, I can't fellowship with you for this or this or that. You know how stupid it is? It reminds me of high school stuff. High school baby stuff. And this is what the devil wants. He wants us to fight over things that aren't really eternally important. And then he wants your heart to be full of hatred. And this is part of his plan in the end times. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. So we have to be like these virgins that are filled with oil and let none of these things bother you and offend you. Work them out. You're going to have conflicts with people. People are going to get upset. But make sure that nothing offends you. We have to keep our hearts right. So you have to pick your battles. I'm amazed how some people want to die on some things that are really not important. Eternally, it's not important. So we're going to just share a little bit on the hill you want to die on. It's an expression taking a strong stand on something that will result in defeat of one sort or another. The hill you want to die on is a term, or it's from the military term, fighting to take the position of a hill from an enemy, and it's nearly impossible. And the results is mass casualties. So ask yourself, is the hill worth fighting for? The cost of taking it? So there's some things in the Bible that we're not going to fight over. Because you know why? You're going to believe what you believe. I believe what I... Does that mean we can't fellowship? No. There's some things that are negotiable, and there's some that are non-negotiable. You're going to have to find out the difference, and you're going to have to find out which battles you want to be in, and which battles have been being fought for 2,000 years, and they still can't agree. So why are we going to fight on things that nobody knows. Nobody knows the day or the hour that Jesus is going to come. Be ready. Be filled with oil. There's some that aren't. They were still virgins, but they were sleeping. They came knocking, wanting your oil. You know why? They're on forgiveness. They're bitter. They're mad. They're out picketing. They're rioting. They're tearing down. They're looting. Wow, don't be a part of that. So is the hill worth the cost of taking it? The hill you want to die on describes something so important to you that you're willing to fight to the death and accomplish it. Politics. Is it worth fighting over? I have mixed family that are for this party or for that party, and you know what? I refuse to talk politics with any of them because each side talks about the other ones, and they've broken fellowship over stupid stuff. And guess what? This is all by design. If you don't know about politics, all I'm going to say is it's part of the matrix. So we don't break family relationships over things. Remember, you have one family, and why are you fighting over stupid stuff? You're not going to change people's opinion. Let them believe what they want to believe, and let them talk the way they want to. But there's some things that you have to, like if it's deception, and if you're a leader, sometimes you got to put your foot down. You got to say, to me, I am a teacher that I'm trying to bring truth, and I'm trying not to bring in false doctrine. So if I sense something that's false, I have to confront that because that's what my mission is right now. So if people don't like it, I'm sorry, but you know, go listen to someone else. I'm trying to find truth in a day of heavy deception. So the hill you want to die on, I come out of the beast. I've come out of deception. And I'm sure there's more that we're all coming out of. But when I see it and you've been in it and you try to tell people, come on out of that, they fight you. Why? They're still in that deception. They still think you can create whatever you want with the power of your words. Well, then why haven't you gotten rid of this virus yet? If you're so powerful. How come it's not working? Then on the other point, let me say this. This is the other thing, okay? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You can hurt people by your words. You can destroy them by your words. And just like this, this is kind of my little object for... Okay, now try to put that back in the tube. Can you get it back in? Now your evil, mean words can't be taken back. We can wound people and not take those words back. So we have to be careful when we're talking to people. People are angry right now. People are upset right now. People are, you're stealing my hope right now. We have to be careful, but on the other hand, we have to stand. You know, you can't allow manipulative people to control you in this hour. Because this is, God's given us a will. And we are people. Why they're Ahabs? Because they don't ever stand up for anything. Oh, I just want to keep the peace. I want to keep the peace. So there's a balance in what I'm saying. You have to stand up when it's time to stand up, but you don't have to be mean and hurtful when you do it. Right? That's why if something's upsetting me, usually I'll wait and wait and wait until it's time to talk to somebody. Because if you do something in the heat of the moment, you're angry. Well, that spirit is going to wound somebody, right? And you can't get those words back. You get in a fight with your husband or your wife, you say really mean things, guess what? That never goes away. They can say they're sorry, but now they know how you really feel, you know? So the hill you want to die on describes something so important to you that you are willing to fight to the death to accomplish it. And guess what? That's pride. A lot of it is simply pride because there's some things we don't know. Well, so-and-so, and this is what I used to do when I followed man, so-and-so had a dream, and Jesus appeared to them, and da-da-da. Now I doubt all that. Why? Because it was extra-biblical revelation, and we don't follow anything that's extra-biblical adding on because we found out the warning in the end. So, is this going to make and break you? Are you going to fight with your brother about politics and never talk to them again? Does it really matter? It's still your brother, still your sister. So a lot of conversations, I just say, I don't want to talk about politics. Thank you, with my family, because they're very divided over it, and they're divided. It's not worth it. So in the end times, many shall be offended. We're seeing it now. Many people are being offended, and they shall what? Betray. You tell a friend everything, and they're mad at you. Now all of a sudden, they go, and they give you a smear campaign, and they twist everything you said. well, you know what? You're not too filled with the Holy Ghost. I think you, I don't know if you're ready to go yet. I don't want to go be mad at people and have my heart wrong and I die that night. Do you? So that's why every night we got to check our heart. We got to guard ourselves. Lord, I forgive them. As you have forgiven me, I forgive. I stand forgiving. I don't like what they did, but I forgive them. Why? Because people don't even know how they hurt you. And this is what I've learned too. And maybe I've hurt people and I didn't know I was doing it. Hurt people hurt people. And they're not even aware they're doing it. So that's how you move on. They don't even realize they hurt me. Doesn't that help you when you feel sorry for someone and you're empathic rather than angry? You can move on. If you get angry, then you have a root of bitterness. In Hebrews 12, it talks about the root of bitterness is going to defile you, and it's going to defile everybody around you, because all that's coming out of your mouth is going to be mean stuff. Mm-hmm. Have we ever been there before?
Yes.
Let's not go around that mountain, because then we got to go through all that again, okay? So betray means you mistreat and you abandon. You desert people when you betray them. It's to be unfaithful as to betray a trust, to fail or deceive. So the end times, what's the sign of the end times? Betrayal. Jesus was betrayed by Judas. That was Jesus. So if he's going to be betrayed, guess what? We're going to see it in our lives, in our families. It's all part of the human experience, because you know why? People are people. And we all have flaws. You hang around someone, you go on a vacation for a week with someone, you're like, boy, am I glad to be back home. Because you loved her, but you couldn't stand him. Or you couldn't stand him, but she talked too much. He didn't talk enough. And boy, I didn't know he did that. People are people. We all are flawed. We all have these little things. He picks up everything. And you know, she's so filthy. And everybody's got their own opinion, the way life should be. And you're just so in love, and then you get married. And then you find out, oh my gosh, this and that and this and that. So what do? You adjust. You just keep adjusting. Well, people are like that everywhere you go. I've been in ministry now 48 years, and I've heard just about everything about it. People are people. And you just have to know people are flawed. And then look in the mirror and realize you are too. We're all flawed human beings. So it's called have grace for each other. Let's just, you know, have grace. But the people that are the most wounded, this is what I find out that they do. And I used to do this. You cut people off. I remember somebody did something really abusive to me, one of my family members, and I cut them off. This was my kids were really little. And they approached me and they said, you're not going to cut me off. It's a long story. And I had every right to. There was some things involved there that was very, very mean and hurtful. And I didn't even know I was doing it. I put up a wall of protection, because there was a lot of abuse in our home. My dad was an alcoholic, and you learn to put this wall up, and you don't even, it's just such a, and I had to learn from that day on to take that wall down. Take it down, because it's self-protection. And I'm not saying you don't stand away from that person if they're abusive and they're mean. Sometimes you have to withdraw. It's true, but there's a difference when you're doing it and it's a self-protection inside yourself. You wall people out, because when you're walling everybody out, God can't speak to you either. Now you protected yourself against even God and the people he sends to you. He's knocking. I sent that person to you, but you wouldn't listen. You were so wounded over there, you didn't even see my provision over here because you walled it out. So God doesn't want us to have walls. And trust me, our whole family had walls, and we've had to deal with it. But church people are the same. They wall you out if you don't agree with this or that. Well, it's just part of the church experience. It's not going to stop, because that's people. But when you humble yourself, when there's a humility that you can escape those walls. And this is the other thing. Someone comes to me about someone else. Usually what I always try to do if it comes to a boiling point, I bring the two together. They hate that. Everybody hates that, and then they get mad at me because they're, you know, this person's really talking bad about you, and you're talking, well, let's talk. I don't want to talk to them. Well, the Bible says if you have something against your brother, go to them. You know why? It never gets resolved. If you go to someone else about someone, you'll never get that healed. And God said if you have a gift and you have an offense toward your brother, leave that gift. In other words, don't even think you're going to fellowship with me. And sometimes you can't resolve it, but try. Try. But the most people, when I was in counseling more at the bigger church, I'd get these people together, and They wanted someone to agree with them, but they didn't want to talk to the person. And some things are so petty that if you just talk it out, you're both fine, and maybe you saw a side of the mountain that they didn't see, and then when you talk, you're like, I didn't know you meant that. I thought you meant this. And they can become great friends afterwards. But you know what? It takes humility to do that. It takes honesty, and it takes really wanting to walk in the fear of the Lord so there's no divisions among us. So very few people do that. You know what they do? They just build a case towards someone else, and they just keep building it, and the division just keeps stronger and stronger until one day that house is divided. And that's how the devil conquers. He conquers children, family, marriages, churches, governments. Everything is divided. And now we have a United States of America that is so divided. And you can pick one topic and fight and fight and divide and divide. And God doesn't want us to play that game. Stand for what you believe, but if it's a non-negotiable, let it pass. Unless it's the hill you want to die on. Because we're going to talk about someone that chose a hill to die on. Of course, Jesus did. Golgotha, that was a hill. That's why he didn't turn himself in before. He had to die the way he was supposed to die on the cross. So anyway, pick your battles. It's okay to ask questions, to have different opinions. It's okay to discuss. It's even okay to debate. Just don't divide. If it's a non-negotiable, it's in the Bible. It's talking about Jesus and certain things that are very, very important. I have a tape, a whole YouTube on the non-negotiables. You can listen to that. You have to decide if it's worth the hill you're going to die on. We can disagree and we can still be friends. Recognize which hill to die on. Be ready to be respectful of other people's views. Honor and consider their feelings and their views. Don't force or push people to change. Manipulators don't let you think for yourself. Wow. They take away the right of choice to make decisions for yourself. Now you're going to see that with God. He lets you choose. If it be thy will, Lord, your will. The Antichrist, everything is going to be forced. You are not going to have the freedom of choice. And that's at some point in time, God will stop this. Because he's given us a choice. So if the enemy comes in and wants to take away all freedoms, guess what? It's the battle between light and darkness. God's got to take care of this. There's nothing we can do about this. This has been planned for many, many years. So manipulators, when they try to manipulate you and force you into believing something, that's wrong. And if you're doing that to your kids or anyone, you can't force people to think like you. The manipulator is made idols of his opinions and his religious doctrines. If you confront one, get ready to become their worst enemy. Why? They're never wrong. There's pride. And you cooperate with the agenda or you will be ignored when you try to disagree with them. Have you ever heard of the silent treatment? Yeah. You're forced to either come around to people's way of thinking or to be ignored for good. Now we're seeing this. And this rioting and picketing and stuff that's going on, it's gone beyond protest. Now it's into rioting and looting. I hope you understand these agendas have been planned for a long time for civil war. You're not free to disagree with a controller. If you've got one in your life, work or family, pick your battles carefully. Some people you can't escape from, but they're control freaks. So you have to know, you have to let some go, and then comes to a point of time and just, I'm not moving off of this. God did not make one person to control another person. In marriage, relationships, pastors, anybody. So what does the Bible say about hate? Well, there's a lot of things that we hear today, but if you look to it, it's really hate. Hate groups. And we think that we have a right because we've been victimized and we can hate. Well, there's a positive and negative side to hate. Psalms 97:10, ye that love the Lord thy God, hate evil. He preserveth the soul of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. So when we love the Lord, we're going to hate evil. That means we love what God loves and we don't like what God doesn't like. The hatred directed towards others is said to be walking in darkness. So these groups now that are forming, saying that they're for some things and against others, really it's a plan to bring division. And whenever they're trying to bring a country down, we're not going to go into that whole thing, but we see destabilization, we see deconstruction, we see all these things that I talked about in other places. But in 1 John 2, this is the main thing I want all of us, regardless of what you believe, what side you're on, what doctrines you're pushing, or what you believe, because we all have our own beliefs. Verse 9, he that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even till now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goes, because darkness has blinded his eyes. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We're seeing more and more what this world is all about. And we're believing for the kingdom that's coming. God's kingdom is not of this earth. This is a very jealous, lustful earth, right? And they're going to come into where you're going to have to go green. Everything's going to be worshiping the earth. So we're going more and more into end times. But the main thing, we can fool men, but you can't fool God. If you've got hate in your heart, you're going to stumble. You're going to start focusing on that. You're going to give way too much energy to the people you don't like. And that's why I say deal with the conflict, move on, drop it, and let it go. Because otherwise, you're just going to focus on this. You're going to focus. You're going to be angry, and you're going to, you know, it's going to cause you to stumble. And it's not worth fighting over certain things if you can't change people. God can't even change people. He's given them a free will. So who do we think we are to change people? Only God can change them. But hatred is a poison that destroys us from within, producing bitterness that eats away at our hearts and our minds. We're not to let a root of bitterness spring up in our hearts. Hebrews 12, 15. So how do we move forward? Living in a world that's divided. Not only is the world divided, now we're coming up to elections where everybody's going to be divided, and then churches are divided, and families are divided, and through division, the enemy wins. A controlled, divided people, they're easy to control if they're all divided. This is what's helped me through the years. Why did this person act this way? Don't make excuses for them, but it can help you feel sorry for them as they have issues to resolve. Why does this person always act this way? Why does this person have no friends? What is it about this person that nobody can stand after a while? What is it? Well, maybe this, and this. And you know what? This is how I forgave my dad. My dad was very abusive. He was an alcoholic. And I was very angry. I think I went for 7 years without talking to him at one time. And he was doing a lot of things I wouldn't even repeat on YouTube. But one day I was praying for him, and the Lord showed me his heart. I can actually say I saw he went through World War II. He was the only one that lived. Everyone else died around him. He was traumatized, and he was surviving. He was just trying to survive. And somehow or other, I had the grace to forgive him. Because I was mad. He was doing such evil, mean things to people in my family and himself. But I saw that he didn't know how to handle life. Now we'd say he had post-traumatic stress syndrome from the war. But no one dealt with that then. And I saw the hurt in him. And why he was hurting others is that he was so devastated. And because of that, I was able to lead him to the Lord through my friend. We led him to the Lord. He, thank God, he's going to be in heaven. But we have to go over the abusive behavior and why they did. And there was a season I stayed back. I did not want to be a part of his lifestyle and what he was doing. But I didn't drop him. I kept in contact after I forgave him. And I was the one God used to make sure he got saved. My friend went over and led him and his wife to the Lord at that time. But it was because I saw his heart. And that's all I'm saying. That's helped me move forward, is that people that are hurt don't know they're even hurting you. Don't make excuses. There's no reason for hitting someone. There's no reason for the abuse. Maybe you have to step back, but it can help you feel sorry for them as they have issues they have not dealt with. And now they're making you the problem when really they are filled with issues that are not resolved. And if they just cut people off, guess what? They have a lot of issues because they can't deal maturely with conflict. And you see why they're so dysfunctional. All right, so let's look in Daniel 3. This is someone that decided the hill that they were going to die on. They didn't die, but they decided this was worth dying for. This is Daniel chapter 3. This is about Nebuchadnezzar. And you know, he was a king and he made an image of gold in Babylon, and he was going to make everyone fall down. Here again, here's force. Here's the manipulation. You don't have a choice. You don't have a will. Well, what are we going to do when they tell you you can't serve God anymore? That's the hill to die on. Not a lot of these petty things. I call them high school stuff. I always like to hang around older kids because the girls my age were just so into this and that petty stuff. I mean, it's just like drama. Just drama. What does it matter? Some of these issues that are going around, is it really going to matter? If the earth is round or flat, is that going to keep you from being a Christian? I don't even waste my time. People have good arguments on both sides. I haven't wasted the time. I lost fellowship with the whole family because I wouldn't believe it. And I was like, you know what? If you read your Bible at all, these people that do these things, and they're off on this tangent, they never read their Bibles. I can tell you, all they do is go from this to this, to this, to this, to this, to this, and they don't have a good foundation. So if you hit that, well, I don't want to talk about that, that's their life. They have nothing else to stand on. That's why I'm saying, you can disagree all you want. You should be able to have differences of opinion. Say, well, that's your opinion. Thank you. Since when do you not let someone talk about their opinions? You know, well, Daniel, he was here and he had to pick his battle. Here's Nebuchadnezzar. Here's this controlling, manipulating spirit. What is it full of? Hate and fury. He was angry at Daniel for not bowing down. So what does he do? He tells him in the story, get the furnace 7 times hotter and throw him in. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So here we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm all talking wild today. If you can follow me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in verse 16. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, this is the stands we take. We're trusting God in these harmful days, but we're still serving the Lord. We believe he can deliver us. He delivered Noah. Noah, the days of Noah, what was it? Perversion and violence. We're coming into perversion and violence as in the days of Noah. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. But they didn't burn down Noah's ark. God protected him, didn't he? So we're trusting God for protection. So here he says, our God whom you serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, but he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up. This is the hill they were going to die on. I'm not bowing. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to bow. There's coming a time when the Antichrist system is being set up. We can see steps towards it. This is why we come together and assemble. We encourage each other because the world's getting darker. We don't come together and fight over little stupid things. What kind of curlers do you use? What kind of shaving cream do you use? Well, I think you better use mine. It's all stupid in the eyes of God. It's stupid. Who cares what you use? Who cares? There's a lot of things that are so not important. So why die on that hill? Why lose friends over things that really are not going to matter? Who cares? Pick your battles. Don't get into hatred groups. They're going to tell you now, silence. You're if you don't say something, you're part of this group. Don't fall for any of this division. We're seeing it on a little scale, but it's going to get massive. Racism is in the Bible, but hate is. Hatred's there everywhere. We're not allowed. When I first got saved, God showed me in James chapter 2. I don't know if I can get there now, but he showed me when I first got saved, one of the very first scriptures I read, my brethren, have not faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory with respect of persons, chapter 2. For if there come unto you assembly a man with a gold ring and godly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here. And that's pride. Go on and on and on. We have quite a mixed family. We have two aunts that were married blacks, and they're all cousins. We have mixed families. We have everything in my family. And I've never been prejudiced because I saw my uncle married a Japanese right after World War II. I've seen every kind of thing, and I just saw them as people. And I was like, why are people so colorblind? Why are they so angry? Why we aren't going to do with you. And some of my best friends are people of different races. I've learned so much from them. This is a day where the enemy wants us to fight each other. And we're not playing. We refuse to because we know God made them. If they choose to walk in hate, that's their problem, but we're not going to let that get inside of us, right? Let me give you a couple scriptures and I'm closing. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God who he has not seen? Wow. Whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Hate stirs up strife. You know what? If you're walking in love, you don't pick a fight because you're going to stay in love. Hate stirs up strife, but love covers. Love covers all offenses. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. But whosoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his mind or his eyes. So lastly, in closing, I just wanted to share some things that, of course, hatred is coming on the earth like never before, looting. Things happened this last week here in Minnesota that now downtown is pretty much off limits. Wonderful shopping areas are destroyed. But I want you to see there are some striking parallels between Hitler's Germany and what's happening in the United States. Just a couple things. Through the power of propaganda and intimidation, ordinary people can become a part of an evil movement filled with hatred. People become parts of a movement. It happened then in Germany. They reported on each other. We went to a restaurant and they said, please wear your mask. If you don't, we've already been reported. We're going to be closed down if we have another warning. We aren't fighting when you go to a restaurant over a mask or not mask. You do it right now to keep the restaurant open. These poor people, they don't want to wear them either, but they have to. So we don't fight over this stuff. This is just ridiculous. But this is what they're doing, pitting this person against that person. Can you see it? History tells you this has been done before. So hatred. Number two, once wealth is created out of nothing, it can postpone but not stop a collapse. We're coming into a collapse. Hitler, same thing. When they're going to bring a country down, they start making money out of nothing. Once people fear starvation, they get desperate and they surrender their rights. Fear. They put a few things on television. People are afraid of fines. They're afraid of prison. Pretty soon they start tightening the grip of fear. People start surrendering. History. To control the citizens, reward those who betray their friends. Wow. Now you can get $25 an hour if you go around and report restaurants. And of course, everything is for your safety. And I shared this about a year ago. Hitler, everything was for your safety. Isn't that interesting? There's some parallels here. But remember, and I want to encourage you with this, God has the final say. It might look like the enemy's winning right now. It might look like Christians are divided and families are divided. I always say divine relationships are fought, but you can't divide them. Barb House was my first Christian friend, and we're still friends today. Have we disagreed? Yeah, but we've never become divided over stupid stuff. You know what I mean? Do we have friends in our life that we can say that with? Very few, because someone, you know, picked up their toys and left. For whatever reason. I'm just rambling here. Okay, the judgment of Hitler and the false prophet and the Antichrist. What's going to happen to all these people that are manipulating, they're controlling, they're dividing us? Revelations 20:10, they're thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and will be tormented day and night forever and ever. What hill do we want to die on? What fight do you want to pick? I think we need to make some good choices, don't you? Let some of these little things go and know that there is an eternity that we're going to stand for, that we have to pick our battles. There's some things that I have preached that I haven't wanted to preach, but I knew I was supposed to because no one else was. I had to preach on the false counterfeit revival. When I saw, if you haven't watched that, watch that. When I saw all of these things coming together, I was like, oh, this is going to make me win the popular. I'll have a lot of fans over this. But in heaven you do, because when you speak truth, if they don't want to listen, really, that's on them because it's going to happen anyway. But you're just warning them. You're just warning them what maybe now they've found out 10 years later. God was trying to tell you, don't fall into this trap, right? So the church that was called by God to stand against evil and expose it embraced it. In Germany and America and around the world, the church that's called by God to stand against evil and expose it has now become relevant, has now become more, we want the world to love us. The world, the one world religion is all rising. When the church in Germany awoke from its spiritual and political slumbers, they realized it was too late. They were deceived and angry at preachers that nobody told them what was coming. Hitler always said the best way to conquer your enemies was to divide them. Are we falling for this game? Divide? I refuse to have division in my heart towards anybody. And lastly, well, I keep saying lastly, the German Christians, who were known as the faith movement. You can't make this stuff up. The German Christians, who were known as the faith movement, endorsed Hitler's positive Christianity. Their slogan was, and get ready for this, because no matter what happens in the elect, this is going to happen. The Bible says the church and state will become one. This is what they said, one state, one people, one church, claiming Hitler was the will of God and the chosen one. Wow. Crazy. Watch out what information is being pushed. There's so much infiltration right now. But someone sent me these little commercials. This was back in the day. Propaganda. Remember I did a message on propaganda? Be careful what you're watching here. This was wrong information being pushed back then, and it's discovered now that it was wrong, but back then everyone believed it. Nicotine cigarettes, the smooth taste expectant mothers crave. So here's a pregnant woman smoking a cigarette on a commercial. Nicotine cigarettes, the smooth taste expectant mothers crave. Another one, here's a little baby. No flies on me, thanks to DDT. What is DDT? It's an insecticide. It's very poisonous. It's a chemical. And here's a little baby, and this commercial is they're promoting DDT. Another one. Let this magic mineral, asbestos, protect the buildings on your farm. Let the magic mineral, asbestos, protect the buildings on your farm. Or today we found out what? That'll kill you. So these were the commercials. I have all the pictures, too, of the stuff that they pushed back on television and in newspapers. This was newspaper ads. So be careful. We're living in the world. We're living in a different world. So if you don't think politics are corrupt, you're not reading your Bible. The Bible talks about all these kings, the kings of the north and the south. He talks about the kings of the earth are going to gather together. It's happening right now. Well, this party's not corrupt. Really? Well, my party's not corrupt. Really. We're of the world. So what? They're corrupted. Sorry to tell you, you that think somebody's going to be your savior. Jesus is our savior. That's a hill to die on. Not a lot of this other stuff. Father, we thank you for helping us. Help us all through. Every one of us is being affected by somebody that is on a rocking horse that's going to rock their doctrine until Jesus comes and whatever. And we all have things we believe. Some are going to protest until whatever. I'm tired of them calling me this, this, and this. They have no idea. They're pawns in the game, a bigger game of trying to divide us against one another, and of different countries that they've taken down. If they can't see, many think just because the election, once this is over, everything's coming back to normal. The world we knew is never coming back to the way it was. There is a new normal now. The new normal. The old, everything we knew is being torn down. Like I told you before, the world is being taken out bit by bit to replace it with the new world order. So, Father, we ask you to help us see this. Help us see with your eyes that we are not so blinded by just looking at someone that's disagreeing with it. Look at the bigger picture. Is this the hill we want to die on? Is this the battle that we're going to fight? Are these the words we're going to say and never be able to get back? So help us watch the words of our mouth. And Father, we thank you for freedom of choice, that we still have some choices. And help us, Lord, walk in the fear of the Lord, that we don't divide the body of Christ. One thing God hates is division in the body of Christ. So Father, help us not be dividers and to cause each other to stumble. In Jesus' name.
Be sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the bell button so you can be notified of the newest videos. We are viewer supported. If you would like to donate, please go to livinginhispresence.org. In the upper right hand corner, there is a give button. Thank you, and see you next time.